I'm just going and starting before we get to it.
You got the video game that's coming, the Telltale games for the Expanse.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We got, I don't know anyone who hates this show or the books.
No, 100%.
Well, what's hilarious is what most people don't realize is the author is actually two different people.
Yeah. They don't read the fine print. They just go, oh, Game of Thrones in space. It's like, yeah, but that was just the marketing chip. It was already out before Game of Thrones. But
yeah.
Yeah. So for those wondering, who are these people in Jerry Seinfeld's word? We got Kyle Wagner. Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be here for the first time. And I'm really excited about talking about The Expanse, one of my favorite sci-fi shows of recent memory.
Absolutely. We always revisit something and we always say best moments. The best villains, the best. The badass moments. And then I'm your host Cam, and with me is also the Lethal Mullet and my partner in crime.
Hey, Kyle. And
you can see both their shows again on the wonderful Fandom Podcast Network. And I am not kidding, I'm not kissing ass when I say I'm seeing so many people come together. It's not just the Highlander podcast, it's not just the action. I'm seeing so many people just ignite. It is ecstatic, just like Expanse here. I'm seeing so many people come out of the woodwork who are like, where was this podcast, 5 years ago? Is this, take the compliments, is all I'm saying, dudes. It's a ride, but only you can get that kind of compliment, because I see so many people who want to buy compliments,
we tried. We're going into year 6 on the Fandom Podcast Network. So.
That's fucking amazing. I see so many people.
And this is all naturally grown, and we just do it for we love it. I mean, we don't do really any Patreon. We don't put ads in our shows. It's just
because
we want to be able to talk about what we want to talk about and not have people kind of directing what we have to do and say. And
it's organic.
Just want to put shows, as we like to say around here, we want to put shows out that feed your ears.
It's definitely comfort food to the ears, man. And altogether, I mean, what I'm finding now from podcasts is they're kind of learning backwards. It's like, oh, now I'm learning all the public speaking skills. I was too lazy to learn from my English professor. And they're appreciating radio again. And stuff like Expanse is making people even realize how big a giant sci-fi opera cyberpunk fanatic they really are, because there's so many Easter eggs to Blade Runner and Total Recall. And I mean, for God's sakes, Shankar was the one who wrote some of the best episodes in 90s Outer Limits and even the Data episodes on Star Trek. So it's just like, he's come a long way. And when you have Neil deGrasse Tyson just saying, this is the best legit sci-fi show, it's like, you can't just get that every day.
it's kind of amazing. And Adam, I think you'll agree with me on this. We've talked a little bit about this. There's a lot of intelligent science fiction being done right now.
There really are. Expanse. I meant to tell people that.
What Denis Villeneuve is doing with his interpretation of Dune. You have Foundation, which I've been catching up on Apple TV.
I'm so happy I now get to finally see season 2, because I was waiting, man.
Also been watching their new show Silo, which has kind of got a little bit of post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Very intriguing mystery show.
And it's by the Justified Banner Brothers guys. You would never think they would do sci-fi, but there they are. They're doing sci-fi and everyone's stretching themselves. Bill Lawrence, everyone knew him as the dramedy guy on Scrubs. Then he teams up with all these other actors and comedians, and he creates two hits for Apple back-to-back, Shrinking and Ted Lasso. And that doesn't happen overnight. They got to get comfortable going that avenue, And no, I think that's so true. I see so many people.
There's such a need for content because of all the streaming services now. People are getting the chance to stretch their legs.
They're getting such a big chance.
Tell different stories.
All the streaming channels now are trying to get their own fantasy show, their own, as we say, science fiction show, particularly space opera. And I think the big thing is the market that Star Wars is kind of leaving as they're kind of failing to bring the goods. I mean, there's nothing in the cinemas right now for how many years from Disney, right? And they can't deliver, right? So that everyone else has come to the table. You've got a Battlestar Galactica movie that's literally sitting on the shelf currently getting dust.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And I think that's the thing is, if there's a need for something that we all want out there, this franchise, Firefly is another one, Serenity.
People are always testing the waters. It's like, do I get a comeback?
And think about just what came out. Well, think about what came out today. Strange New World season 2 starts today.
There you go.
And finally, the new season of Black Mirror hit today as well.
Yeah. It's our lucky day.
You know, and we are in a state of just constant content.
Me, and then met by comfort food, junk food.
But part of me is actually glad we have the writer's strike right now going on, just in the aspect I needed a minute to catch my breath as a podcaster, because it's like I can't keep doing these podcasts.
Oh, and it was gonna happen 1,000% gonna happen. You know, when people play too many games, they got to set an example, and I apparently it just got to that point where people were looking at their paychecks.
Well, and I've talked to people I know within the industry here in the U.S. and they're telling me, we've been told you better be ready for either have a lot of non-union jobs lined up or a lot of commercials or something like that, because this thing's not going to change anytime soon, because these companies
need to be in a different country there, Kyle. I mean, out here in Australia, we've got an industry just burning with no writer strike at all. I mean, we are kicking down the doors right now. You've got a Mad Max movie that's just about to launch in the next 6 months, right? Now, I've got two mates working on that film down in New South Wales. They're literally doing reshoots as we speak.
Yeah, and there's a Blade movie that still no one can agree on.
Yeah, well, Mahershala Ali is going to be 50 by the time that Blade movie comes out. That's right, I read that somewhere. What's even funnier is, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, they've started filming Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to stop because Ryan Reynolds, because of the writer strike, cannot improvise from the script.
Yeah.
He can't go off script because of the writer strike. I'm like, you are taking away one of the biggest weapons in his pocket. What are you, you know?
He's overrated.
Well, either way, I mean, this is where comedians have to be a little more clever. It's like, hey, instead of just telling the same nightclub joke, just go down an avenue, take a risk. You'll gain more respect points.
What's even more interesting, though, and I just listened to a wonderful podcast called The Town, and it's all about the inside the industry. They were talking about The Flash and how it's actually benefiting, because you don't have the talk show circuit to do, because none of these shows can be live right now because they have no writers.
Wow.
So it's insane what's going on and how much this one thing is affecting so many things. And yet in the meantime, I'm hoping people are using this as a chance to go back and check out some things they haven't watched, like what we're going to talk about now, which is The Expanse.
Oh, totally. I'm seeing so many people who are afraid to get into certain things, and I'm like, guys, this is just as good as, you know, deep popcorn, like, you know, any of the Star Wars or Star Trek shows. But it's interesting how some people go right into it and they'll have all kinds of reasons. I just liked how the ship looked. I just liked how the characters were talking. And then the next thing you know, whoa, but this has something more that I did not expect, you know? It's somehow, like many shows, despite being canceled twice, its legacy is still active.
Well, what's funny about The Expanse too, and Adam, I think you know this as well. Jeff Bezos, at the time when he was in charge of Amazon at the time, desperately wanted to get The Expanse.
Oh,
he was so angry when Sci-Fi got it. And so when Sci-Fi realized it was having problems, and yet again the Sci-Fi Channel has to remarket itself and cut expenses, and The Expanse is like their most expensive show to make.
The Expanse, yeah.
he jumped all over it. But I mean, because he actually intended for The Expanse to get the money that the Rings of Power got, ended up getting.
I mean, should Sci-Fi Channel have even touched it? They don't have the budgets. That's something.
Well,
like, you know,
and they just wanted to be kind of like syndicated programming where it's shot for a tax cut in Canada and airs for 2 seasons. But yeah, they are almost as bad as Netflix, where they cancel without warning. It's like,
To this day, one of the shows that makes me so mad that they canceled without warning, because the show ended on such a cliffhanger and I loved it so much, was Dark Matter.
Thank you. Yes. I was one of those. I was like, just don't watch those last 5 episodes, and boom, you got a complete story, because you're not. And it sucks, because I love how Sean Ryan, you know, who you might know from shows like The Shield and Last Resort and Nash Bridges, and he always wraps up every season he's on. He doesn't wait for studio permission. But I respect the Stargate guys too, because you know they wrote the damn comic.
SG, I mean, they had everything running, and then when you move into dark matter, you've got such a ground behind you. You knew you were going to have
people would see parts of that and be like, "Mercenaries in space, I got to see this."
Well, you had Stargate Universe, which was pretty gritty, and moving into dark matter, it was a perfect ground run, you know.
And totally. And much like Expanse, it does kind of become kind of a, you know, spot the Stargate or Dark Matter actor, or even spot the X-Files actor, or any of these other Canadian shows.
I mean, and two, at least with Stargate, because they bounced around so damn much, because it started on Showtime, then they went to syndication, then they went to sci-fi. They realized we probably need to write every season they did, so it's not on a cliffhanger, because... Right.
1,000% So I got to ask you both, who is each of your favorite characters? We'll go with the mullet first.
Oh, Miller, for sure. Miller is one of those, you know, interesting ones that obviously...
Brave captain, you know, very selfless.
Well, you know, like, it's an interesting character, you know, because we get to see him come in and a little bit like, you know, obviously he's in dealings with Holden and stuff like that as we go through, you know, the, the first two seasons in particular. We're getting to see everything through his eyes, you know, and then also, you know, this whole belter, you know, world.
And all these prejudices they each have.
And belter loader, you know. Like,
they got these fictional slurs. The Kara G character I was quoting a lot. I was like, oh no, off the bridge.
So, well, there's a mate of mine, actually from the UK, he said, you know, it reminds me of when I went to Australia. And I said, why is that? He said, because, mate, you speak the language, but it's completely different down there. I said, how's that? And, you know, it is straight away. It's our, you know, what we say, our slang, you know. Get out, here you go. It's really like three pips in the barbie, hey, mate, here you go. You know, all that sort of stuff. And unless you know exactly what those terms are, like, hey, mate, grab me a spoonie out of the Esky. You'd be like, what? Oh, the chili bit. And they don't know. It's just a, you know, icebox. You know?
Right.
Things like that. Different turns, but like they've done in this beautiful big universe, and it's just, it's clever because it drags us in wanting to learn more as we
do. ILM wishes it could do visual effects. That's great.
What do you reckon, Kyle?
Kyle, man, who would you sail to the ends of the galaxy with? Just
So with this show, as far as the cast, I mean, the cast from top to bottom is spectacular. There's nobody bad on this cast.
They've all been has-beens or semi-working, or they needed the comeback, or just character actors starring everything. And this is all going to be one of their best highlighted roles.
I mean, but for me, I think Holden started off as my favorite character, but as the show went on, without a doubt, my favorite character through all of it is Amos. I love
Amos Burton. Amos Burton, who I believe I'm reading about in this one right now, which is, what is it? It's Memories Legion, and it's these short stories. And you get the churn in it, which is all about Amos and what he's gone through, the poor bugger. You know?
Oh, wow.
Talk about a character that's been through one end and out the other. I tell you, bloody hell.
Well, I think the great thing about the Amos character was he just told it like it was. He didn't, just went straight to the point, told you what he was thinking. There was
whenever he disarms someone, he says, please, please don't have me kill you. I don't need any more blood. And so we relate to him, because instead of being, you know, like Han Solo, where he's an asshole for the first, you know, 40 minutes and then changes his voice, it's just interesting how it's like with this, you know, like you say, he just wants to be very blunt. So I'm going to be slightly cheating. It's a tie between Amos and Bobby.
Bobby's great too.
They're Frankie Adams. Duo.
Yes.
And Frankie and, you know, just like Amos tries to find out who killed his prostitute mom. I just love Bobby's. He's just like, a bit much like Holden's kind of a fugitive on the run. She's been abandoned by her government because she won't cater to a conspiracy they're coughing up. And it's just like, everybody's a bastard, you know? Bastards get along with other bastards sometimes, and this is the point, you know, like they all have to get along in the ship, they all have to take turns. I mean, and like you say, Holden's arc is also gold, because, you know, like, he's a biracial kind of guy, he's trying to understand his upbringing and the different cults, and then again, you know, like, he wants the impossible, he wants the world, which he can't have, you know. And then he downplays it. He wants his, you know, separated kid and wife to love him. He's not getting that either. So then he goes with the final. This pretty much leads us into the highlights of the show. Is like,
well, I gotta say though, if we're talking about the characters too,
yeah,
in truth, as great, I mean, we have our favorites. To me though, the best character as far as the most developed, the most different angles and everything is without a doubt Christian, because she is that character.
Oh yeah.
You want her on your side, but you're still scared to freaking death of her.
Oh, and you want Blunt. She's blunt as a butter knife. I mean, she really.
I've always loved that actress, but
yes, Shireen Aghuladeshu, who she of course is a legend. And her, I mean, and her voice is you don't miss her voice. You
recognize that raspy voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She had a few cigars in her time.
Yeah. And just the way she curses is also kind of adorable, because it just kind of adds to her mighty woman kind of character. It's like, you don't expect that from this gal. I don't have any issues with any of her scenes. And that says a lot, because I see so many people when there's politics introduced, they want to fast forward for that part of the show. But I've never seen anyone say it with this. Mm. I don't have any issue other than that it was confusing at first that her husband changed actors. But that's a different story. Yeah. I was like, hi, seeing things. Oh,
yeah, it wasn't one of them. It was too, wasn't it? Yeah.
And good actor who I'd seen in every other Canadian production, but I was like, wait, is he playing her aide?
It wasn't even Seinfeld. He was in Seinfeld for a while.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
wow. I think one of the great things about The Expanse. Yeah. One of the great things about The Expanse, too, you talked about the political of it. The Expanse
so hard
plays the political so well because it isn't dull and boring. You're analyzing it and seeing it through these three different factions that have experienced so many different things, and they all have a valid point. And that's what makes it even more fascinating. Then you add in this terrorist group who in their own right have a valid point, even though they're taking it out to an extreme.
Absolutely.
But you can actually find, that's one of the magics about this, is that you can find a sympathy from every side. And you can also find, like, man, there's some really messed up things that the side is doing too. There's no innocence, but they're not all completely devils either. And I think that's one of the things that
a godsend either. There's like half the time, I think Naomi's terrorist husband is kind of interesting, because he's not only not taking no for an answer, he's like, I'm not doing this to hurt you, but you will get hurt if you join the other side. So I'm just putting it out there, and I will use your son as a weapon, because that's all I got. Use everybody as a weapon. This is all out. I'm tired of this damn galaxy. I'm, you know, all the tyrants and all the other lawlessness, you know. And so it's interesting, like you say, they don't feel like retreads of the same character, just angled differently or spoken differently, like some sci-fi shows have gotten in trouble with, you know. Was that a line meant for someone last season? That doesn't work here. Yeah. And here, yeah, it's very fleshed out. And you just get the sense that from both the authors and the writer's room, you know, who are so active on Twitter, is like, we want a new feat. And kudos to that final season. I was like, how are they going to top those last two seasons? You know, they
mate, you've only got to look to the books. I mean, it's there.
Yeah,
goes from that.
Why shit on it? It works. It's gold.
30 to 40 years into the future, and you get to see what happens.
Kyle's categories
and the legacy. You know?
Yeah,
Kyle's categories.
The other great thing about The Expanse is, because I think they did work with the authors so well in keeping it true to the books, but still working to make it for television. And you brought this up earlier. The Expanse is the first science fiction show that I have seen in a very long time that truly respects the science of space.
Absolutely. And you just can't put it down, because the character motivation is at its core. And sometimes you don't understand someone right away, but you want to go on that mystery journey, because they literally have checked off the whole list. The ship's in jeopardy, but it's more to it than that. They're in a neutral zone. They got no way to control this ship, and they're panicking just like you would, supposedly, if you were in this so-called scenario. And yeah, and any hacks or cheats that they put in there, it was earned, because like you say, they respect the fans, they respect the material, they respect just doing more than just put on a catchy show, you know. Like, there's no comparison. Like, it wasn't trying to compare itself to anything else. It's like, I mean, you could you could see elements there, but it's just building on what's already there and finding its own voice, as opposed to what can we do that Battlestar didn't want to go that deep on, you know?
and that's the thing. And you bring up Battlestar.
Yeah.
I think battle, the one thing that you can, there's a lot of, I think, threads you can pull from Battlestar to The Expanse. The biggest military one for me is yeah. But the biggest one for me is, again, respecting the actual science of space, where space, no matter what is bad is going on, space is like, okay, we're in space. We've got to respect that or we're screwed. And I think that's one of the things that I loved about The Expanse was, compared to even Star Wars or Star Trek or anything, space is an actual, like, something we need to worry about. Where within those type of shows, it's like, we're not even worried about the fact that the vacuum of space is just a few inches through a piece of metal or piece of glass.
Instead of figuring out how to get someone's attention, you know, with a gratuitous sex scene or gory shootout, let's just have them just say, what is happening? And, like, I kid you not. So, long story short, when this premiered in 2015, were you guys there from day one, or did you catch up on it when it? Okay, well, so I saw only the first two episodes. I was like, this is a dynamite show. And I'm going to get sucked in, and I'm going to fail college. So let me get out of college first and come back to this. And I kept reminding myself. And then my sister got exactly that same, like, little toy figurine of the Rocinante, you know, ship. All it has. And then I was like, motherfucker, I got to get back to it. And then finally, you know, it's renewed for a second year on Amazon, second to last year. I'm like, okay. Diving in. And so by the time I was caught up, season six had just premiered, I'm like, let's fucking kill this, guys. Let's watch this. And it was a trip. It was really good. But I also had to remind everybody, you know, this is just like any of these other Amazon shows. That's their signature. It's just like Reacher, it's just like Bosch. You have to watch three episodes a night and be taking note. You will forget stuff. That's key to your enjoyment. So don't, you know. Some shows you can kind of have in the background and you mostly get it all, like Breaking Bad, but you cannot have this in the background. You will miss everything because it's not even just a visual. It's or Easter.
There's so many little story elements to it. And Adam, I think we've had this conversation about it. How, even with the changeover to Amazon, because the stuff the Sci-Fi Channel did, obviously it didn't have quite the budget, but it was the top, it was still pretty top notch for the time.
Right.
And the Sci-Fi, the good thing that Sci-Fi did, and this is always when Sci-Fi Channel gets a hold of something, you never know. Yes. Sci-Fi Channel respected what the where it came from and the source material and the creative thought,
which is so wild. Is like, and they give you freedom, but yet they still don't promise that it will go beyond just a season.
Yeah, and then so when it does get canceled and Amazon gets it, obviously the biggest notice was definitely the increase in budget for the effects and things like that. Yeah. But and of course they could have a little bit more freedom in how they wrote the scripts. But I do think this was one of those cases where we had an incredible show only become great because of a changeover in networks.
You just said it. Again, it's a budget increase. There's somebody behind that money that really loved the material. Obviously, he's probably read. I mean, Jeff read the books. There's no doubt that he loved the characters and where things were going. And I think knew that, hey, we need to fund this and give it, obviously, to...
And they trusted each other, man.
They really know how to do it. They really did. I mean, the writers, too. The writers
were involved.
Having that platform, and that platform was what's there. I mean... And then every winter and every summer out here in Australia, when we got the seasons, you guys got it over there in the winter. I mean, that was always a fun time to be able to, you know, devour those seasons. And you watch it, everyone's on Twitter or Facebook, and we're all talking about the plot lines and, you know,
the
what's
Naomi
going to be
gals getting a bunch of gigs. The Stephen Strait guy had seen a bunch of things, but let's be honest, he wasn't known until this, you know, and.
Realistically, they kill off one of their most well-known actors.
Yeah, Thomas Jane.
Not only Thomas Jane, but you had Paolo. I can't think of his last name right now. He played the doctor in the first season.
Oh,
and he gets killed.
Yeah,
but he was. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, he was actually a pretty well-known actor at that point because he was coming off of a great run in the U.S. off of that USA Channel about the doctor, that the concierge doctor, mm-hmm. Royal Pains, where he played the brother. So a lot of people knew who he was, and he was probably one of the more recognizable
Jason O'Mara, right?
No, his name was Paulo Costanzo.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah,
it's the mullet Seinfeld joke earlier. I see what you did there.
He was probably at that time when that show premiered, one of the most known faces on television at that time, because that show was such a huge hit for the USA.
1000%. He didn't know why it was so popular, but yeah, you're like, and this got our trust so much to where it's like a rarity. It kind of just reminds you kind of just why half the time the suits don't know why they get, you know, lightning in a bottle. And sometimes they leave it alone, other times they make it worse. But it's just kind of a big reminder, is like, either, you know, understand this better or just let them go for it. The worst thing you do is you take credit for it. You know, you don't have to. So many people feel like they need to own it. It's like, you don't need to own anything. You just got to do a good job.
Well, and the great thing about this too, Cass, is you had this wonderful cast and nobody had an ego in this cast.
Absolutely. I have not heard anything of someone tripping someone in the hallway or demanding, you know, a pay raise. It's just, yeah, they're just happy to work. They've all been in all kinds of productions. And yeah, I've never heard about any of them being assholes refusing to come out of the trailers. Even Thomas Jane, you know, he's gone for the ringer.
Yeah. But realistically,
he's a good actor, but yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 Realistically, I think this is one of the reasons why they maybe had a little bit of issue with the direction of the show at the end, is obviously there was the one controversy with Cass Anbar and they had to change his character's story because they had to write him off the show, and understandably under the things. But Adam, you and I have talked about that. And I kind of wonder if that happening didn't kind of put them in a spot where they weren't sure what direction they could really go.
Well, it's tough because unless you've read the novels, you know, obviously that character continues, but there's a lot of other characters that in the novels which are completely in different areas. So there's a couple of characters that are from right up in like book 6 or 7 or whatever it is, they get dragged into the second season, and now that becomes part of the Belter sort of
natural. You see them in the background knowing they're going to probably be a force at play, but you don't know how, instead of they literally let it all out of the bag and I don't accept this because this was, you know, ham-fisted. And no, that's so true. I think they figured, again, I do not speak for these, disclaimer, but I think they were just comfortable just going their own way with it at those last 5 episodes, because they're just like, it's pretty hard to just kill this. We gain the respect. We're not doing anything drastic that we don't think the character would do in some capacity. And I mean, I've seen so many shows with a similar arc like this, where the melodrama of a terrorist family is just done to death. But like you said, we weren't even looking at him as just terrorists or just as, wow, the past came back to haunt you. It's, you know, it's a lifetime psycho feeling.
Well, like, it's not even that. See, it's not even that. Like, you've got our small world here, which was the, you know, obviously Mars, Earth, right? Belters, right? That's our view.
Belters.
Then the big thing is, in the middle of that is the proto-molecule, right? The proto-molecule is an interesting storyline, no matter where it is, whether it's in the books or in these seasons.
It's freaky. Now, as it we want to know more.
we find out that obviously there was 2 massive races of some type of alien. They've left this, and it's both a gift, but also a kind of a snare, a trap at the same time. What are you getting out of that technology? There's more than just healing, a weapon or transport. And I won't spoil it here. Anyone that's listening tonight, it changes and grows even further in the books and expands us.
Expands.
Yeah, 100%. So, and that mythology even gets, I mean, if you get into the role-playing games, you'll get even more. So it's interesting that no matter how big we get, the word expands actually really is the development of it.
I can only hope that future sci-fi writers are really taking notes. And anything that would, I did see my mother, who's a fan, kind of complain that Holden kind of played too many tricks at the end. You know, when they're saying you're going to do this and that, he's like, no, I ain't. I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it or wants to remember what it was. But I was like, no, that failed earned. And I justified it. I literally went to essay paper. I was like, he established this and that. So I'm used to this kind of rascally trick. That trick was earned in my book. But even again, it's such a minor thing. It's literally in the last 5 minutes, but I mean, I gotta, yeah, no, I gotta ask you guys this, your theory on this before you guys go. Do you think Bobby accompanied Amos to the whorehouse? I just want to know. I don't think she did, but I'm kind of morbidly curious. Not that I care either way.
I think she might have.
Because she looks at her face like, I mean, what the hell? It's not like this. This is just stupid fun.
She's a Marine. She's seen things. She's one of the boys.
Because she was like, oh, guy, boys will be boys. And then Edwards is looking at him dead on. And don't get me wrong, this isn't like a Christopher Nolan thing where it's trying to fuck with the audience. Like, I'm cool with them not answering it. It's to the viewer's interpretation. It's not like Blade Runner where we're getting an argument. Oh, the writer and Harrison Ford are right. No, Ridley Scott's right. No, you're both wrong, or you're both right. it's nothing trivial.
She's a loving character in the show. I mean, she's phenomenal.
Well, and it's so hard to find people who are naturally like, I believe you're strong. And having tried opera modeling back in the day, I got so annoyed at how they, if you didn't have pecs, you didn't have a shot. And it just seems like same kind of deal here. It's just, they look like everyday people who have special skills. And it's not like the superhero movies where we're looking, or action movies where we can tell who's the stunt double, who's clearly, you know, more slick or anything. We're not even paying attention to other tech stuff, like what kind of gun they're using. We are the way it is shot, we are following them every trench, every abyss, every wormhole, you know, every suction of the universe that's gluing us. And
the other great thing about The Expanse is it is one of those few shows. Yes, you had your core group of characters, but you had so many supporting characters that were cycled in and out. But you never had a character that's like, good God, I just can't stand this character.
Yeah.
You had all of these great character. You had all of these great character actors coming in and out of this show, whether it was David Strathairn, the amazing Chad Coleman. Mm-hmm. You had Andrew Rotillo, who played Diogo. You had Elizabeth Mitchell
coming in and out. Oh my God.
Vern Gorman from Torchwood fame for a lot of you. I mean, just an amazing in and out. And a lot of these actors who were, you knew them from the sci-fi scene, and there are a lot of those, oh, I know that person type of actors, but phenomenal that it was just so well done. And just one of my favorites was Kara Gia's Kamina Drummer.
Absolutely. You don't know where. Yeah. And then when her mentor Strathairn passes away, you don't expect it. And she's feeling exactly what the audience. She's like, oh no, I can't be captain right now. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to be captain because I get a revenge mission and that fuels me. So we kind of, like you say, we are kind of always laughing with her because of how playful she is with her slurs and everything. And then, like you say, the insight, it's just so, like you say, it is not like every other sci-fi show, like Twilight Zone or Star Trek, where, okay, they're there, but they're not quite there yet. Yeah, they are making sure they are making sense.
Well, I'll give you another one. When Nadine Nicole came in on a regular basis as Clarissa Mao, and her amazing chemistry with Amos.
It's great.
That whole time they're on Earth just trying to survive in that final season is just...
It's great.
Amazing.
And we feel the claustrophobia, you know? I see so many movies where the budget is so cheap, we just don't buy anything. And it didn't matter how they shot this. Like, I bought it all because they cared that much about it. And I've just lost track of how many people just half the time just will take technology, you know, they don't know how to use yet. You know, like when TV first switched to digital, there were so many camera shots that just did not line up with what we thought was, you know, on film, and because they weren't ready yet. But I think we're now to that point where people are now just saying, okay, I may not be ready, but I'm ready now. I'm going to make myself ready.
Also, to take the switch from everything that's in the early seasons with the proto molecule and still have that be a part of the series throughout. It'll be
interesting. Even though, yeah.
But then to go to where now you have all the gates to go through, and that opening up the world like that, and how you're dealing with that, to then going to what they did in the final seasons with Marco, and how Keon, and shout out to Keon Alexander, who was phenomenal in that role. But to have such complicated, complex, intelligent storylines, and to go from one to the other, and then find ways to even make them relevant within each other. It just, I mean, this was one of the most well-written television shows.
Ever. Absolutely. And as I've said with even crime shows like, you know, Ray Donovan or Power, my theory is they cut too close to home. Mm-hmm. Critics are afraid to even give them a single nomination because they're going into very deep territory. They're like John Wick, but if John Wick got really fucked up, and you know, with more than just revenge and bloodshed and cool assassin world with Tarantino type dialogue. But yeah,
we'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
The fact that this is still being ignored by award shows and yet has a high critic score and audience score just is proof of that testament. It doesn't need any fucking awards. It doesn't need permission.
It won a ton of Saturn Awards.
Oh, well, that's good. Too. But see, yeah. I wish more people would talk about the heroes in Saturn. It's such an undervalued profession.
Well, I know I've brought up a lot of castings, but there's one other one because I've been watching Foundation.
Oh, yes.
Jared Harris, who played Anderson Dawes, is only in 7 episodes of this show, but yet he felt like he had such a bigger impact and was around so much more than just those 7 episodes.
So, in a mirror universe, Foundation is his. All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Sorry.
So, but no, Adam, I mean, just what they did with the actors they had and just the talent that they brought through is, again, it's one of the things that makes the show so special.
It's so special. Camaraderie. I mean, these guys really had a rapport together, and they're invested in the story as much as obviously, Ty Frank and them. But I think what the thing is, as they grew through, they didn't know where things were going unless,
Let them analyze this like Breaking Bad. Let them say, if they can do good, you got no excuse. I hope any line producer is looking at this and going, you don't need 20, you know, plus million to be fucking good. You need care and time, you know?
And, so one of the points that I'm curious to get what both of your takes are on this, because I'm actually having to discuss this with you, is one of my biggest beefs in the, with, like, as much as I love Star Trek Picard season 3, mm-hmm. even Mandalorian season 3, one of the things that a lot of these modern shows have lost is the sense of character peril. And The Expanse, every space battle, everything that's going on, you really felt like there's a possibility we could have this main character die. I think the only other show that in modern TV that's really done that successfully is Game of Thrones, because they established that right out of the gate that, guess what, nobody's safe in the show. But The Expanse, it just, you always felt like in the, whether the amazing and beautiful space battles or whatever was going on, somebody could not walk away from this that you
never,
as a character, you really care about.
Absolutely.
They treat these characters at peril all the time. And what did the justice for us as you know, readers of the books or watchers of the show, is that we're learning more about what it takes for them to, you know, bring their next level. You know, it's the classic hero's journey that George Lucas has already talked about with Joseph Campbell or Frank Herbert with Dune. All those elements that they put in there is bringing out what we love about those characters, and plus having to, Amos, for example, wouldn't lift up, you know, anything to help anyone, but he realizes he has to for him to survive. And in that, he becomes a more compassionate person. That's what brings about from him.
And Holden, that's what we needed.
About becoming a tougher guy, a tougher leader, because he's by nature a diplomat, but that changes as things go.
He realizes there is no diplomacy. It's just theater.
You look at there's no other show. I mean, Dune is one that doesn't hold back in killing people off as well.
I haven't seen that. What's your take on it? Like overall, like, is it going to be like a big giant like 5-season arc, or is it?
Dune's a movie series.
I thought you said June, but yeah, I wasn't aware what that was. But yeah, I am aware of the Dune prequel miniseries. But no, that I'm loving how you're bringing that up, because again, people think it's lightning in a bottle when really it's just care, and it's just like you say. I mean, people need to just start studying good movies and books, and they'll eventually, when you've broken it down and you find out why you even like it, you know, you can fix this puzzle piece. But again, I get that sometimes it's easier said than done. Look at how many times they've had to redo Mario Brothers, Fantastic Four, even, you know, Dungeons and Dragons.
And again, movie. like you said, it's care, but it's also finding the right elements. And sometimes you don't know until you start production whether you have those elements or not. The Expanse got it. Was lucky enough to get an amazing cast that had great chemistry and worked well together. You know, you look at, you mentioned Fantastic Four. You look at that fact, one, Fox had no idea what they were doing with the property.
No.
They've never seemed to be able to get a cast for Fantastic Four that had any chemistry.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think when you're talking something like Fantastic Four, if you do not have that chemistry with your cast,
it doesn't work.
It's never, ever going to work. And like I said, the Expanse realized what the creators realized what they had, and they went with it. And again, to me, this is one of the biggest things, is when the studio lets them do what they need to do.
Yes. And
we see this more. The example I always get, I give a lot of people, is the difference in how Disney handles Marvel compared to Star Wars. Because when Disney purchased Marvel, Marvel was already pretty much set. Avengers was in the can. We knew it. Disney bought Star Wars when it was really hurting. And the problem is Disney decided, well, Marvel's doing fine. Kevin Feige's got that ship running. We'll leave it alone. But they can't keep their fingerprints off of Star Wars and can't keep their fingers out of the Star Wars pie. And truth, we look at where Star Wars stands now. And Disney had this whole idea of, we're going to make a whole new Star Wars that is going to be just based off of what Disney's, our characters that we put in there. And it hasn't worked.
Lightsaber. Yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't worked. Yeah. You know, even The Mandalorian, which, yes, okay, they created The Mandalorian and Grogu, but because it has used characters that have been established in Star Wars history and has more of that feel of what George Lucas did in the original trilogy, it's worked. But the stuff they've tried to do outside of Rogue One and Andor, I feel like they're just struggling. They don't it's like they don't understand the product they have, and they won't, but they won't let the creators do what they need to do with it.
I'm afraid for that network, because again, you know, like I saw the Willow show. Some people liked it. Most people hated
That show was bad. That broke my heart.
I was very mixed. Like, I didn't hate it as much as everyone else, but I was like, see, I was too much on the effects.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I was done by the first episode, because not only effects, but because they tried to force certain storyline elements in there, and it just felt like we were putting it in there because we're trying to appeal to this instead of just having it be a natural part of the story.
And then an 80s soundtrack that is so out of place. You're like, why are we hearing rockin' tunes in what's supposed to be a fictional ancient fantasy world? You know, it'd be like, I don't know, if you started playing Lynyrd Skynyrd or an Alice in Chains during a Game of Thrones scene. You're like, well, what the fuck are we doing here? You know, it doesn't make sense. And I am noticing a lot of just force. Like, for instance, I've even talked to other people who just watch even just regular TV, and they can tell you already, why the fuck did they do that change? Why did they kill off that character who everyone loved? It felt cheap and forced. And NCIS, for instance, you know, it's always going to be on, but people have liked the new guy, Gary Cole, not just because he's an accomplished actor like these Expanse guys. He's done everything, you know, cartoons, hysterical sitcoms, serious stuff. He's earned respect naturally. They built him up. They had him on last season, 5-episode build up. There's enough warning, and we accepted that. Okay, the lead's going to step down, and he's going to take over, as opposed to, that just feels like someone argued over a contract. You know, it doesn't feel like that. Like other shows have done that. Like, this guy's your partner, and he's a piece of work.
Well, and if you think about it too, look at how many properties Hollywood is now revisiting.
Yeah,
instead of creating new properties. Now, don't get me wrong. Justified is one of my all-time favorite shows, and I look forward to the return of Justified.
Can't wait.
In July. Yes, I, Adam, I know how you feel about Timothy Oliphant, but but I also have concerns, because how much of this are they going to change? One of the things that was so great about Justified was the freedom it had, and I will say this till my dying day. Justified had some of the best dialogue in a TV show ever.
Breaking Bad didn't even come close. And
that's the chemistry between Walton Goggins and Timothy Oliphant too.
I had to get one of my coworkers in a headlock. He's like, it's a cop show. I'm like, buddy, watch the fucking show. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Just because it's got a guy who's a marshal does not mean it's a cop show. That's like me saying The Sopranos is only a gangster show. No, The Sopranos is about life. Fuck off. And it's just... And same thing with some of these superhero movies. I like the Doctor Strange movies because, and even Shang-Chi to an extent, because it's kind of more like The Rocketeer. It's not worried about if we're as good as the other Marvel movies. You're like, let's just have some mischief. And then along the ride, let's bring some other dark fantasy horror guys in there. They can experiment with this and bridge this gap. Because what we're seeing even more than just toxic fandom, and you guys are doing a good job, by the way, I am not bullshitting. You're killing it. You are making sure we are giving a deep takedown. We are not here to piss you off or divide this any further. We're not here to beat a dead horse. And
the idea for us is that everybody likes what they like, and you're entitled to do that. But just because you have a difference of opinion on it doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean the other person's wrong either. You're allowed to have your own opinion. Now, what I will say, and I think Adam, you will agree with me on this, what we don't tolerate is somebody just saying, oh, this sucks, and then not giving us any reason why. And just trying to be woke.
What does that even mean anymore? Everyone just uses the first insult that's trending. Not good enough. What does that mean? What is good enough?
You got to back your words up, man. At the end of the day, you have to back your words up. If you're going to come up and say, this is horrible, this is bad, well, why don't you like it? And what is it that you're going to watch instead of that or read it? Something out there that is going to be like that. You know, for me, I can't stand half of the new Star Wars or Star Trek. Yet I know Cad, Kyle, and the others absolutely love it. Picard, I love. Discovery, I loved maybe the first and second season. The minute they started veering away from Klingons, I'm like, come on, this is freaking Star Trek, for crying out loud. You know, and then Strange New Worlds, yeah, it's okay. But Picard nailed it, and we got a captain of a certain ship that got killed off. Mate, they had no freaking idea what they were doing. They killed it off just so that they could, I don't know, have the original TNG crew have a moment. And that really
and they actually
kicked me off.
Find a poker game that actually meant something instead of let's do it for the billionth time just because fanfare, motherfuckers. But yeah, that is a good point because I'm noticing what's dividing fans even more nowadays is half the time just how the dialogue's done. Like they're even bringing sitcoms back, and half of them I'm just rolling my eyes. I'm like, it ended perfectly. It doesn't need it anymore. Probably watch 5 episodes and then say, fuck it. Why was I thinking? And there's plenty of other shows where I'm telling my parents, hey, you remember that show you liked in the 80s? It's coming back. And they're like, oof, beating a dead horse.
I think there's two big things going on within the fandom bubble. And I think this is one, the Expanse actually is a representation of this because I think this is where we're going wrong. The Expanse was this great standalone thing. They didn't try to make 18 different spinoffs out of it or anything like that. Now, I know that there are rumors that Amazon still would very much like to revisit the world of The Expanse with some films. And I'm all for that. But I think where we're having the problem is that, and nobody's a bigger Marvel fan on the planet than I am. I grew up reading Marvel comics. The MCU is one of the greatest things as far as I never thought I'd see these comic characters on the screen like this. However, and this has always been a Hollywood. What the MCU did with the Infinity Saga and being able to have this grand experiment that worked over a 10-year span was a one-time lightning in the bottle. You cannot repeat this mixture.
No. Yeah.
And the problem is now Hollywood is trying to repeat this over and over again, and it's not working because the issue being we have too many different things to grab our attention, and nobody wants to invest into something that they have to see every single little thing that comes out that might even be remotely related to it, you know? And I think Marvel is,
it's not the answer. Yeah.
I think even Marvel is starting to learn that lesson a little bit after Phase 4 and where you're going to start seeing more Marvel projects where they don't all interconnect. Maybe you have like the street level heroes with a storyline that interconnects there. The cosmic level with it, little, and then maybe you have the one big movie event every 10 years or something like that, but that doesn't have to run through every single project that we're doing, you know? And I just think too, we are hitting a point where I think what I consider our tentpole franchises, in a way, I think they're getting closer to either end of life or in need of some serious renovations and renewals to themselves to refresh. Star Wars needs it desperately. Star Wars needs to get out of the Skywalker saga timeline. They need to explore the grander universe. Marvel needs to shake things.
Yes. Just appoint Kevin J. Anderson. Timothy Zahn. Yeah. Everyone will shut the hell up already.
Yeah. Marvel just is in a learning process. And I think Marvel's a victim of their own success. And I think they're learning from that. I look at Star Trek. What people aren't talking about is Picard is done. Discovery is wrapping up in 2024. Strange New Worlds is becoming their flagship show. And then their only other live action projects right now or other Star Trek projects that are going are animated. And don't get me wrong. I think Prodigy and Lower Decks are fun and are great for what they appeal to. But, you know, everybody's screaming for this Star Trek Legacy show. We weren't hearing anything about that. The writer's strike isn't helping. I look at what I consider, whether you like it or not, the other big Hollywood tentpole franchise of the last 15 years is Fast and Furious, because it makes a ton of money and it's huge worldwide, and that is ending. And God help me, I was brave and I went to the theater and watched Fast 10, and I don't understand movie physics after watching Fast 10 because
that is true. He is using it to fund Riddick, but it is interesting how I can't think of any other franchise where people don't even necessarily like it for the right reasons, other than like something schlocky like Sharknado. Anything else is often called a sellout, you know? And anything, yeah. Any Stallone franchise, any Police Academy, I don't know. I'm running out of franchises because, like you, like Kyle's saying, franchises are kind of dying, but it is getting to that point.
Well, where you need a cocaine bear franchise.
Yeah, there you go. And now we're really
I think that's the other thing. More shows like The Expanse, where you just watch it and you're in
just
it.
Take a chance. Do it.
And we need more shows like that are their own thing, that stand by themselves. And yes. And we don't need to be a part of a bigger universe. You know, I think Amazon it's really interesting. Watch what's going to happen to Amazon over the next year, because Rings of Power did not succeed like they were hoping it would.
I was a fan, but yes, that is true.
What is it? Coven, their new show, the spy one. That's tanked. Amazon is going to be taking a different method, because if you look at it, the stuff that's succeeding for them are the smaller things outside of Jack Ryan. Outside of Jack Ryan and Reacher, most of their stuff has been smaller level shows. And even Apple is finding the same success. They're not using these huge, big budget shows that are their hits.
Apple bought A24, so they got the indies working for them. And Amazon just bought MGM, so they really got it going for them.
So it's interesting, because I look at The Expanse as one of those bridge shows from one time to another, because you had it on a network with Sci-Fi Channel, which I think within 5 years, the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be something that we're going to talk about in the past.
Network. I don't know. The Sharknado Network. Boom.
There's a whole nother podcast to be talked about the history of the Sci-Fi Channel.
They changed the name.
Even still, so you had it on the Sci-Fi, then it went to Amazon and became part of this streaming boom.
Yeah. They get that win.
So I think when we look back on it in history, it's a real interesting show to look at for that reason, as well as just how amazingly well done it was.
Yes. And it's a lost art, because half these fools who get all the credit, they don't know why it works. You look at how every other 90s blockbuster had to look just as big as a Die Hard or Terminator movie. And it's like, do you know why they work and why these knockoffs don't? You know, it just got annoying, because you're seeing it. You're seeing what they don't see.
To your point too, the other thing that Hollywood is guilty of is, we have a successful franchise. We're going to make it successful until we've driven it into the ground and then some.
Taken. We didn't expect Taken. It to even be good. Hacks, and, you know.
And yet I see Hollywood also have the ability to at least somewhat resuscitate a franchise. And I look at a movie I just saw this over this past weekend. I went and saw Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Yeah.
And I will say this, I had fun. Is it a great movie? Yeah. No, but I had fun, and it represented a lot of stuff from when I loved about Transformers, which realistically, the first Transformers movie is great. It represented a lot of things. After that, it went off the rails, and Bumblebee kind of set it right again.
I love Bumblebee I tried selling everyone on it, and some people didn't even want to see it because they had grown so attached, believe it or not, to even the characters. I'm like, trust me, your argument is invalid. They play the 80s theme from the 80s movie. That alone makes it great. But
for the first 10 minutes of Bumblebee alone
was hysterical.
It's an orgasm for Transformers fans. Really, everything on Cybertron is just,
they got Fred Dreyer from Freakin' Hunter to play the sheriff. I mean, it's like it's such an unusual cast that shouldn't even work.
Come on. Even you get
John Cena,
who I still to this day think a lot of people just underrate, because the man is comic gold. If you've ever seen some of his comedies, when Psych. He just lets loose,
he was great on there.
Norton was fantastic on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think he is capable of. I think he's growing as an actor. I mean, Peacemaker was phenomenal.
Yeah, really emotional. And I saw some people who didn't want to see it because they weren't crazy about either Suicide Squad. I'm like, shut up. Watch it. If you like The Boys, if you like Deadpool, this is your cup of tea. But yes, just like all these other movies that we can compare and contrast, like, we don't have to compare Expanse to Mondo. It's just similar and different. Same thing with all these revenge movies. I can watch all the Equalizers and John Wicks of the world and not get bored. And then I see all these other movies and I'm like, I'm going to judge you on your own thing. Did this actor who's, you know, it's a pretty simple formula. Take a has-been actor who's a badass and have him go out for revenge. Simple. And yet I've seen so many fuck it up where they take it too serious, or they go on too long, or the plot's just dreadful. It just plays like a lesser Bronson crap fest, you know? And
yeah. Speaking of that, Adam, when is the Australian production of Revenge of the Mullet start?
Revenge of the Mullet.
Revenge of the Mullet.
I'll let you guys go after this.
Well, I can tell you this much. There is a production currently souping up down here at Village Roadshow, which is literally about two blocks from my place, where they shot Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme, The Phantom.
No.
They might have done some location work, but all the studio stuff is done here. But down here, they started doing sets and stuff like that outside for Mortal Kombat 2. And the hot tip is that Carl Urban is joining to lead this as Johnny Cage.
That has been the rumor.
So he just left.
Here's the interesting thing.
My karate school had his agent going around looking for his places to train to get ready for the role, because he's doing a tournament sports karate role. Now, if they've got his person going out there,
you can't let him leave Australia until he does Dread 2 as well.
Right.
Oh,
no holds barred. We don't. Better yet, he can do what Thomas Jane, the star of The Expanse, did. He can hire an awesome director and make a kick-ass 20-minute short that explodes on the internet. You know, came back as the Punisher.
All I know is.
Go ahead.
There is a better Punisher, an original Punisher, one that is taller.
Sydney.
No. Yes.
No.
Dolph Lundgren, mate. Oh, mate.
I love all the Punishers.
The Biohazard soundtrack.
It is a good soundtrack. I will give you that.
It is.
It almost sounds like Commando.
And guess what? That was the second Marvel film. Did you know that, Carl?
Yes, I did.
Howard the Duck.
God.
I'm daring both of you guys now to go back to the 70s and watch some Nicholas Hammond Amazing Spider-Man.
There you go.
Oh, good God. No.
There you go.
Oh, you and your Marvel movies, mate. Mighty hell.
Well, no, and this is good too. I didn't see any corporate reviews of this. Amazon could have easily pulled some dirty plugs.
Yeah.
I don't see what they're doing now, where you see the critics who are essentially, if you're reading it, the subtext is, I didn't like it. And yet they still gave it like a 2.5 or a 3 or 5 out of 5 stars.
Better than the 1-star Indiana Jones Dollar Destiny reviews that are going around right now. Apparently that is going to bomb bad.
Well, I'm going to see it because can't be worse
than Indiana Jones.
It's Dollar Destiny.
There is nowhere for Indiana Jones to go but up. I'm sorry.
Space. I would legit watch that. Indy fighting aliens and predators in space. Boom. Die Hard in space. There you go.
That movie was called Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. James Bond. And now he's facing James Bond's original villain, Casino Royale.
Yes.
You're going to die scratching my bones.
And he already fought. Harrison Ford already fought James Bond on the Yellowstone prequel, so there you go, Timothy Dalton.
And his
father was James Bond, Sean Connery. So yeah, he's pretty connected to James Bond.
Yes, of course.
Rush. We'll take the Rickers for 20.
Before we go, I got to ask you guys, because it popped up on the internet today. Put out the first official picture of Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven the Hunter.
I haven't seen it.
It's a Sony production. That's all we need to say. It's a Sony production that doesn't have the word Spider-Verse in it. So,
yeah. Look, I give credit for his role as James the Black in Outlaw King, one of the biggest heroes from Scotland. And he did a fantastic job with him. Who knows? Let's see what happens. But the look doesn't look right. No.
I'll just say this. because again, we'd like to clear the room and leave it on a positive. Best of luck, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's been fun to be here.
We can't predict success. But well, because we're just spoiled. I missed the days when movie trailers were produced in studios before they got lazy and said, let's hire people who clearly fast forward for the movie and took all the fart jokes and gore and sex and put it in a red band.
I do miss the days too where we got scenes that were in the movie trailer.
Next week in the movie. Babylon 5. Coming to theaters from Joel Silver and Richard Donner. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned Babylon 5, the trailer for the new animated dropped today.
Beautiful.
They sold me on that voice cast alone. Phil Lamar as Dr. Franklin. I'm like, fuck yes. And
I know.
It's the only way to make sense.
Amazing. What's very cool is, too, Straczynski said he went to all the surviving cast members and said, this is what I'm doing. If any of you say, no, you're not comfortable with somebody when the character is being voiced by somebody else, I will not do it. And the whole surviving cast members said, no, this is a great tribute to them. We want to do this. And we're okay with that aspect. So.
Awesome.
Totally. I mean, and that says a lot because they had so many fallings outs, even after a while, Andrea Thompson was like, I don't care. And Jerry Doyle and JMS were fighting. And then they were talking about doing a reboot and everyone was still skeptical. They're like, well, he's involved, but CW's got
they were skeptical because it was the CW.
Yeah. I don't want Melrose Place 2.0 in space. I want or you know, the hit and miss DC shows. The best DC shows in my opinion are, if it's not the 90s Flash, then it's probably going to be Gotham or Penny's Word, but that's just me. So
though I actually give them credit because I really didn't think they were going to renew Superman and Lois, which I think has been better than what I expected it to be. And they renewed it for a fourth season. I thought with everything that's going on at Warner Brothers and with the CW, I thought it was gone.
Right. And they got the Gotham Knights, and I take it you've heard how there's recurring jokes. No, yeah, Gotham Knights
is done.
Right. Yeah, it's done. But I find it so funny how, kind of like with all these reviews, how you have to literally just shuffle through it to where you might as well just suffer and just watch the product because you're getting
I have it. I'll be honest with you. I came out and I didn't even know it came out. I mean, that's just how
how much care they put into it. But yeah, like I even told my sister, who's usually up to bat, and she's like, never heard of it. Sorry.
I'll give you you want an example of a show like that I gave a chance, and I was really not quite sure what the heck it was going to be with Titans. And Titans. I loved Titans. Titans was much better than I thought it was going to be.
And one of them ended up being Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have no problem looking at Minka Kelly in the Dove outfit. I'm just going to say.
Oh, yes. Oh. Swear we're not prudes. Anyway, but yeah. It's also just interesting just seeing, I just hope we can just find a way, like you say, to just keep reminding people on how to just, like you say, use your words better. Because like The Expanse, I can't think of a single fan who has just like found it. It's a total rare. Because you're going to see inevitably some Star Wars fan who's wants to piss off other Star Wars fans. Oh, Mondo, it's not all that. Whoa, is this bait? and it's like with Expanse, I don't see anyone. They want to literally exist in this world. And it makes sense embracing this as a video game because the story will always
especially
continue.
Especially the Telltale style of video game.
Yeah. Oh man.
I for me, people who I've introduced The Expanse to, I've found it's either they're in on it, or they at least give it a legit shot and then just say, you know what, it's not, there's something about it that's not grabbing me. And I can understand that too with The Expanse. It takes The Expanse about four episodes to really for some people, I think they just, I don't want to say minor.
Don't get me wrong. A grandparent won't get this. I get that much, but.
Like. I think there are some people who they need a little more action in their space adventure. And I think The Expanse doesn't give you that until about really halfway through its season.
That is also true. I just lucked out because much like The Last Ship and other TV shows on at this point, on Spectrum Internet, they had a behind-the-scenes featurette at the end. And it made it worth sitting for all the commercials because I got to learn it more. And literally, I saw Karen Shankar. I'm like, oh, I know that writer. He's a big, famous sci-fi writer. And then he broke down what I just saw. I'm like, holy fuck, I don't have time to rewatch it, but I trust you. I trust you.
Yeah. And I'm going to say right now, I think a lot of people who wouldn't have watched it tuned into it when it got the Neil deGrasse and Tyson.
Yes.
Stamp of approval, amazing. As far as the science of it.
Well, and it does seem like people want a second take, even though half the time they end up not agreeing with it. And it's just like, reviews are only as good as the next person. You know, they're going to keep happening, and that's okay. There is no pressure. You do not have to like Top Gun Maverick. You don't have to even like John Wick 4. But like you say, you got to explain, just, you know, stand up straight.
That's good, because Paul doesn't like John Wick 4.
Well, no, I don't speak for anybody. I speak for just being straightforward. Just like you say, use your words. I see so many people who can't. I was depressed for the human race when I got to senior year of high school, and I still knew five losers who could not spell their name. I'm like, I'm not sure who I feel more sorry for, your parents not caring about you or you not trying to make strides. I mean, don't you want to get out of this school instead of going to detention every week, you know? And I think that's what this show reinforces. Not only do we want to know about the world and coexist in it, they want to also explain, you know, just, they don't even want to explain just so you'll shut up. You know, they want to legit justify it all without, like you say, over explaining it, boring you, or just not even trying, you know. Just,
the problem is that everything is not one extreme or the other. Yes. There is a lot of layers to everything. And yes. Guess what? Not everything is for everybody, and that's bingo. Okay. We don't all have to be thinking the same way. We don't, and we're not wrong because we have a difference of opinion.
Right?
We can't all be fans of certain directors, even. Yeah. I mean, we can't all be, you know, we're all fans of Yuval. He makes the best movies in the world. We can't all be that.
Absolutely. Yeah, how much did you get paid for that? How much did you get paid for that right now?
A lot.
It doesn't even matter at the end of the day.
Blood Rain,
yeah. I mean, altogether, I mean, people think I'm crazy when I say I did not care for the last few Scorsese movies. I prefer him when he was at his height. And so many people.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, but that movie, Silence.
I kid you not. When I roasted Silence. The Irishman on social media, I had fans coming at me like they were actual mobsters. I was like, chill the fuck out. Do you see me exploding on your case when you bash Tom Cruise? Or someone else overrated.
Hey, I cannot wait for Dead Reckoning. The Mission Impossible franchise is one of those franchises. The movies have gotten better totally. As it's gone along.
Well, much like some of the Star Trek trains. Much like how I have even more. I'm looking to it even more forward because not only are the new cast members, you know, highly anticipated, you know, Hannah Waddington from Ted Lasso and Krypton, but then. Like you say, they're even bringing people from the original movie in as a key part and tying it all together. And so, like you say, they're kind of like how Strange New Worlds is trying to fix the Star Trek V, you know, explain Spock's background that kept getting
asked. Question for you, Ken. Do you know who taught Tom Cruise how to run? Do you have any idea?
I do not.
Steven Seagal. So when you watch their videos next, watch how fast those arms go and the legs aren't traveling anywhere.
I saw the article or the Jay Leno interview where he was promoting The Rock, and he's like, "Oh, I'd kick that guy's ass next time." Put my hand and realize it. Rest in peace, Sean. But yeah, no, before we close out, yeah, Kyle, there it is, so true. I see so many people gatekeeping. Like, I'll see people do it with the crime shows. You can't like FBI and like Chicago Fire. Yes, I fucking can. I see, or you can't like CSI and then this other serious one. Yes, I can. I like both CSI and Bosch. Fuck off. But then it gets to even, just all the action or sci-fi stuff. You can like both.
That's timeless. I remember in the early 90s.
Always.
You can't like ER and Chicago Hope.
Yes. And they even technically exist in the same universe because there's so many Easter eggs. They loved each other. It was a friendly rivalry instead of. Like you see with Power and like, I think Empire or something. I'm like, those shows aren't even alike. How did we get in a random Twitter bastardization? And it's just like half the time, it just seems like people want a hot take and that like they are taking the 15 minutes of fame way too seriously. I'm like, you will always be just that douche on the internet who pissed everyone off for 48 hours.
Everybody has their soapbox now.
Absolutely.
And they have a platform. There is a platform they can find on the internet to put their stand on their soapbox and yell at the top of their lungs.
Parler.
People will find that because everybody has their thoughts. But the problem is,
yeah, even Kevin Rodsell does.
Yes, that's right? True. But
it doesn't all have to be 1984, and doesn't have to be Minority Report either. And it doesn't have to even be Demolition Man, where we are literally telling you it's illegal to think.
but I mean, it's about the using your intelligence of the platform. And the problem is that we are in a instant reaction mode.
Absolutely.
We want our instant reaction.
I didn't see anyone saying, could you believe they did this or that? And then spoil the episode. And even if there was, I'm sure they deleted it within like a few minutes, or people didn't know what they were specifically talking about, because it is that dense. Like, you have to be with it from the onset to get all the jokes. So, I mean, I didn't see anything near like what, you know, it comes down to what's worse, a writer making a decision you 1,000% disagree with that kills the show, or the fans being obnoxious as fuck. You know,
about another 2 hours, the internet's going to get real interesting, because we have a lot of people who just saw The Flash.
Absolutely. And then followed by the newest news on the writer's strike, and it's not improved. And it's like, well, the deadline's not for a few more months. So yeah, no shit, Sherlock. It hasn't improved. Let it improve with time. But yeah.
I'm going to give you this much. I won't tell you what I thought of it, because I want you guys to enjoy the movie if you want to. I don't know what the hell I just watched. That's all I can say. It is.
I've heard about one thing. I've talked to somebody who's seen it too.
And the CGI is horrible.
That's what I've heard. That was the one thing, is that
it looks like a TV budget.
What I've heard, and I don't think I'm not going to spoil anything, but what I have heard, it is one of those movies that the first 30 minutes of it is actually really good and really pulls you in. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like they forgot what movie they were making and they just went off the rails.
It's a shit show. Put it that way.
It's a well-shot shit show. I love it. Yeah. And truth be told, has there ever been any Expanse rumors? It seems like everyone was just minding their business and didn't give a shit about how fans were reacting. They just soaked it up like a good novel, which it was. I didn't see anything like what happened where people had to turn off notifications. You just spoiled the latest episode of Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones or Walking Dead for me. It's like, and there was no way to avoid it. Like, it would be the first thing.
Because as good as The Expanse was, and I think it's one of those shows that people got onto later in its run. I don't think it ever had that huge water cooler talk like a Game of Thrones or a Walking Dead had, or something like that. It reminds me of the best comparison I have. The Expanse is Firefly.
Yeah,
everybody jumped on Firefly when it got a proper release and was properly out.
Mm-hmm.
And The Expanse is very much the same way. I think a lot of people jumped on it when it hit Amazon.
Yes,
and went, because Amazon just marketed it so much more and so much better. And so a lot of people then they went back and rewatched what was on the Sci-Fi, and they got an appreciation for it. But by that time, we were in a place where The Expanse wasn't water cooler must see television. And because it was streaming on Amazon, and we were, again, that goes back to being the bridge between going from network to, we were still trying to figure out how to talk about streaming product at that
point. Yeah. How do we? Because we still haven't figured it out.
I mean, I think when you look back through history, we're going to look at the show that changed how we looked at streaming, and when we started taking streaming seriously, was honestly Stranger Things.
That's a good point. It seemed like that one, that's another one. People don't know why it works, but they're just happy to reside.
It worked because it stayed within itself and it hit the mark with the generation that it was aiming for. But it gave that generation something they could watch with their kids and explain some of this stuff to. And
where's the film? I thought it was overrated, personally.
What's that, Adam?
It's overrated, like Harry Potter. There you go.
I, I will say the second season was definitely nowhere near as good as the first, but I think
I'm not a fan, but I cannot deny why it's so good.
Yeah.
The actors really love the characters, the gory plot twists, and of course all the various timeline references. I mean, kids are flat out fucking getting a 70s and 80s education that their parents denied them. So,
well, and if nothing else, it has given us David Harbour. So
there you go. Yeah. Another beyond talented actor who just seems to, I mean, he starts off as the sheriff on that show, and I would always wish I had more scenes of him, but then, yeah, then he'd start appearing in movies. I'm like, can I have a little more of him?
Exactly.
I can't not look at him because he has my attention. I trust that whoever he is, he's a bad guy about to murder the audience.
if you see his Christmas cowboy movie that he did this past year, Violent Night.
He's a violent
guy. He is
guy.
Amazing in that movie.
I have heard. But altogether, I mean, this is so cool talking about you guys because I feel like I understand it better. You know how sometimes you think you know, but then people say something that is like, I could not say that better. And for further appreciation, anyone who wants some appreciation in The Expanse, James Gaffsey, host of Who Would Win, the martial artist and talk show host, did a hysterical versus match with them against Apex Legends. Like, he took Naomi and Holden, I think Amos, and he tried using the ship, but they ruled it as outside interference.
Amos is your number one draft pick, period.
Absolutely, dude. And I even, speaking of Firefly, as part of being a Patreon, you can come up with suggestions. So I already suggested plenty of people like Jack Bauer, Jason Bourne, James Bond rematch. And I did come up with, what if the Rocinante fights the title ship on Firefly? And he was like,
it's Rocinante.
It's going to cream because the Firefly doesn't have any weapons.
I'm like, Serenity has, no weapons.
But it's so funny because I was expecting just that Serenity fan to just back into it, just support it. And you're like, yeah, no, I haven't even seen Expanse, and I've heard it can fucking cream this. So I'm like, bam, everybody's jumping ship.
It's funny. You want to talk about Versus, the one that's been hitting the internet a lot in the last couple of days because certain people have seen Extraction 2, early screenings of Extraction. So there's a lot of talk of Hemsworth's character from that versus John Wick.
That's what I'm noticing. It's just like, now it doesn't even take even one movie. Sometimes it takes a show. I came up with one, which was Jeff Bridges' character on The Old Man versus a spy on another recent show. And I got a lot of feedback on that. And I was like, I didn't expect it to get any hits, you know, because I watch more TV than the average show. But I was just like, they're like, ooh, good matchup. I'm like, okay, thank you. I was hoping for a fun matchup.
Bring back Celebrity Deathmatch.
It literally is Celebrity Deathmatch. And it's just so funny because James literally just asks questions. Is like, do you think so-and-so could use a force choke, even though he's technically not a Sith Lord? Done. And the other host, Ray, likes to just yell at people and just, you know, watch YouTube videos. It's like, dude, you are trying too hard just to win. Just be a smartass. You'll win with flying colors. Oh, man. You can have people who are virtually useless, like, I don't know, Wicked the Ewok and Jar Jar Binks versus Neelix and, I don't know, some other annoying Star Trek character. And you still won't know who will win because it's humorous. But yeah, it was a good match, the Expanse versus Apex Legends, and that was total bullshit that they didn't get to use the Rocinante, and it was ruled as outside interference. I'm like, no. Even if Apex still wins, you have to use the Rocinante. That's like, I don't know, James Bond without a car. It doesn't exactly fucking work. There is no James Bond without the gadgets in car, and just doing the whole, well, let's say for instance they don't have it, fuck off. You're not going to get Batman without his cape, so same logic applies here. And it's just funny just having to tell people you are overthinking what's supposed to be fun geekdom. But without that, you guys fucking own this chat. And everyone, please check out the Fandom Podcast Network, check out Lethal Mullet, check out all kinds of discussions that Kyle campaigns, and good job on social media, dude. You are always interacting, you're checking off the list.
Adam is phenomenal on social media. My partner Kevin, my partner in the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin, is all over the place. And
yes,
you know, like you said, check out the Fandom Podcast Network. It's either find it on YouTube under Fandom Podcast Network for our videos, or go to fpnet.podbean.com or any of your podcast catchers. We're on all of the major ones, and of course you can find the Lethal Mullet as part of the Fandom Podcast Network, right, Adam?
You can. You can also catch all my craziness and antic martial arts wise, all the stuff that I teach on at the Evil Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on TikTok now and everything. But yes, you can find the shows, and soon you'll find a live John Wick chat going out in the next day too, as well.
That's what's interesting too, is how martial arts movies vary by audience. I will see ones that will have 5-star ratings. I'm like, that hero was bland. I didn't buy any of the fights. And then there's other ones where people shit on. I'm like, I don't know, man. This reminds me of some junky direct to video made for TV movie that had Don the Dragon Wilson or Cynthia Rothrock.
Which I'll say about martial arts is we're just a few weeks away from season 3 of Warrior
streaming.
And Arctic. The amazing Mark Dacascos will be part of season 3.
Man.
Yeah.
That dude, that Iron Chef, man. He's fucking dynamite.
He's a legend.
Yes, he is.
Lovely guy.
So I have a mild connection. I've talked to a guy who's directed a lot of his recent movies, Chaos. You might know from Talking To and Ballistic X vs. Sever. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, Mark's the only actor I trust. He doesn't overthink shit. He knows what to do. He can cry on command in addition to doing action. There's nothing better. This is as close as I get to having a Nick Cage or Keanu Reeves type.
And truthfully, the best Crow after Brandon Lee.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
man. Yep. That movie, that show gets shat on so many times.
Enough people don't know about that show. That show needs a proper re-release. And so they can people can watch that season. That's phenomenal.
Is the DVDs uploaded onto YouTube? I think that might be the best way, kind of like Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. That's how the next generation gets it, since the streaming platform hasn't put it up and the DVD is out of print and too expensive.
Yeah. Exactly. But
we'll get there. Yeah, no. I've kept you guys too long, but man, did you fucking dominate this chat and
command with force.
These guys,
appreciate you letting me sneak in at the last minute.
Last minute.
All of us.
Kick ass, man. Godspeed.
Great show. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, man.
It rules.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Thanks again.
Godspeed.
We'll do something again soon. I know you've been trying to get in touch with me for a while. I've had some family health issues. I just got
over insomnia.
Yeah, so.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, well. You just shoot me a message on Facebook or something like that, and I'll... make sure you send me a friend request, because I don't know if you sent me a friend request on Facebook.
I thought it didn't. I'll try again.
double check it. Maybe you have. I've got through so many and I've been so busy. When we're doing all these shows for the network, I do most of the editing, so it keeps me busy. But yeah, we'll hook up and do something. We'll get you on something with the Fandom Podcast Network too.
Okie dokie. It's a deal.
Sounds good. We'll see you, man. Good to do the show. Thanks again.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.